Our Old Testament lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version, which is kind of nostalgic for me as it's what I grew up with. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In the day the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign to the peoples. Him shall the nations seek, and his dwellings shall be glorious. And the New Testament lesson is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. And this is when Mary visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we hear this prophecy from Isaiah, as we hear the story of Mary and Elizabeth, we pray you would speak into our hearts, that you would open our minds and our hearts to your message today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to start this morning with a question, and you're welcome to shout out an answer, and I will repeat it so everyone can hear it. What is your favorite Christmas tradition? Christmas crackers? All right. The ones you pull, not the ones you eat, I'm assuming. Having turkey? Yeah. Staying up with the family? Is that late on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Christmas Eve, stay up late. Wonderful. Wrapping presents? Board games?
Watching Nate try and guess our presents.
So our younger son loves guessing what gifts are, and he goes to like extreme measures. Like, he will look up things and look up dimensions and compare them to the size of the package. So part of our fun is trying to wrap them in ways that makes it harder for him to guess. He's pretty good though, I have to say. You're with Nate? That's what you like to do? Guess the presents? I love it. My favorite Christmas tradition that we do is going and cutting down our Christmas tree. So we always go to a Christmas tree farm, and we walk through and we pick one out and bring it home and set it up. And for some people, it's a bit of a controversial tradition, right? Going and cutting down something that's living for the sake of decorating our house feels maybe to some a little weird, a little odd. And we like to see our tree get used as much as possible. So one of the things we get to do is we get to take our tree when we're done with it to the local pond where there's a flooded rink, and they use them for windbreaks around, and then they get given somewhere. I think they get wood chipped and get used for different things in gardens. But it's also, I've always thought, a really good example of sustainable forestry, right? You have a specific amount of ground, and if you want to continue to have a Christmas tree farm, you have to be careful. So you always have trees of all different heights, and you only farm a certain amount of it, right? So, and there's always a desire for trees. So it's what I love to do. There's something about starting the Christmas season with having this wonderful fresh tree in our house. And one of the reasons that memory also comes to mind is because the beginning of our prophecy from Isaiah is about the stump of a tree, right? And a sprout, a new green sprout coming from the root. So if you read a couple chapters before in Isaiah, what you find is Isaiah using the same metaphor of trees to talk about the destruction of Israel, and then later the destruction of Assyria. So they warn Israel that their trees, their forest, is going to be burned down. Not cut, but burned. And replaced with Assyria. Assyria being God's instrument of destruction. But they still come in and willfully and joyfully kill people in Israel. They are not just rulers. And so in turn, God comes and judges them, and again, there is a fire, and all of the trees of Assyria are burned down, so that all that is left in the forest are stumps. But if you've ever been in a burnt forest, or a few years after a burnt forest, ash makes a really good fertilizer. It begins new life. And so Isaiah says, in the same way, there will be a new sprout, a new growth that comes from the stump. And even though the stump looks like it's dead, the roots are still good. And so out of those roots, we get new life. We get a new shoot. Because those roots are not based on people, but on God and God's faithfulness. And so out of the roots of God's faithfulness, we get something new. And Isaiah says, and it is going to be new, right? For generations, you have been living with rulers who are unfair, who are unjust, who take advantage of the poor, who take advantage of those who cannot speak up for themselves, who take more and more and leave less and less. But that is not what this new ruler is going to be. This new sprout will truly be new. It will be a king who rules with justice, who rules with mercy and love and faithfulness. This will be someone who rules by the Spirit of God, because it is God's faithfulness who makes the root of that sprout. This is the Messiah that we hope for and we wait for. And so we read these stories at Christmas time, as we prepare for the birth of Jesus, who we understand is God's Messiah, who is God himself come down to earth to rule with this justice and love that Isaiah foretold. But it all started with this very normal metaphor of a forest that is burned to the ground that then fosters new growth. Because it's amazing, actually, how often we can see God in the ordinary, if we care to look. So often the simplest things can remind us of God and of God's love. The hug of a child, lights on a tree, staying up late with our families, spending time together. small little children making animal noises as they look at the Advent, the nativity display. All of these things have seeds of God, roots of God planted in them. And we see the same extraordinary in the ordinary when we hear this story of Mary and Elizabeth. This is nothing unusual, really, on the surface of things. We have a young woman coming to visit her cousin who is pregnant, 6 months along or so. And she walks in the door and she greets her. She says hello or whatever it is, probably shalom. And Elizabeth's baby moves, says he leaps for joy. Now, if you're pregnant or have been pregnant in the past, I wonder how often you felt your baby move and knew exactly why. Maybe not, maybe sometimes. Maybe there are certain things that make your baby move, certain music sometimes or noises, or there's times when babies get hiccups, and you very clearly know that those are hiccups. But often, the reasons your baby moves or doesn't move is a bit of a mystery. But through the Spirit of God, Elizabeth knew why John moved, why she says, he leaped for joy in my womb. And it changes what could have been a very different conversation. Remember, this is Mary who is pregnant under unusual circumstances, coming to visit Elizabeth, who is described as observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. She was a woman who followed the rules from step to step. She had a husband who was a priest. It was important that she follow the rules, and she did it because she believed in them. She's described as blameless. And sometimes when people are blameless like that, or righteous, we say, it can move into self-righteous. It can move into judgment. It could move into Elizabeth saying, Mary, how could you? Could have led to her saying, Mary, get out of my house. But it doesn't. She feels her baby move. She senses the Spirit of God. And instead she says, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. Imagine how that must have relieved Mary. Imagine how that must have raised her soul, raised her outlook on what was coming. She must have been terrified of what was going to happen to her. And she walks into the home of her dear cousin, and her cousin says, blessed are you. Blessed is your child. In Mary's ordinary action of visiting a relative at, well, not really Christmas time, but visiting a relative, brings the Spirit of God into her life. It assures her that what happened to her was real, that she really did see an angel. Her cousin who was barren really is going to have a baby. It's going to be okay. God is with her. What a gift Elizabeth gives to Mary. And it unlocks the Magnificat, right? The song of Mary that comes immediately after this passage that we read last week. In this moment of blessing, Mary is finally able to release and give thanks and joy to God. All this Advent, we've been looking for where we might find God. And all too often, I think we look for God in the big things. We look for the big sign in the sky. But more often than not, it's in the mundane, everyday things that we find God instead. One of the practices that I try to do is every day to write down three things that I'm grateful for. And I try to make them different every day. And when I first sit down, especially if it's been a hard day, sometimes I think, man, how am I going to come up with three new things that I'm thankful for? And yet every day I find them. Sometimes they're big things. You know, coming in, there's nothing quite like coming into church that first week of Advent and seeing all the decorations up in the sanctuary. And I am walking and I am so grateful for the people who come and they spend that work and get it together. Sometimes it's simply the time and the day to get something done that I knew was important that I am grateful for. Sometimes it's pictures of Cookie the Bunny that bring a smile to my face. Just ask Raph, he will show them to anybody who asks. This year, I am especially grateful for the many different families that are lighting our Advent candles. People who maybe aren't up at the front very often sometimes. And it's in those simple acts and blessings that we can see where God is at work. So this is my encouragement for you this morning, today and tomorrow. Take some time when you're with your family to share what it is you're grateful for. And I'm going to encourage you to do it 2 days in a row, where nothing can be the same from one day to the next. And as you have to think sometimes a little more about your blessings, it's amazing what comes forward. And at least for me, I can often see God at work. And when we're looking, we see God more. So look for God and be grateful for his love. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are everywhere. You are in every blessing in our lives. Help us to see you. Help us to see where you have blessed us and where you are helping us to see something new. May those blessings and that gratitude transform us like it did Elizabeth into someone who is a blessing to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.